her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make
well, now
plans.
That was an appropriate open. Considering we are currently, you know, in the Combine week, the NFL Combine going on in Indianapolis, and this is the week where for a lot of college football players, draftees, if you will, they get to put their athleticism on display, get to show their stuff. What are the Combine events again, guys?
You got the 40.
Of course, everybody knows the 40.
You got the broad jump.
Okay.
You've got the vertical jump. You've got the three cone. And then, what is that, the 20-yard shuttle, I believe, is the final one?
Correct.
Yep.
Five events, six events. What was that?
And bench press.
And the bench, of course, which everybody also loves paying attention to. So yesterday here at ESPN Milwaukee, Good Karma Brands, we had our own mini combine. It was really just Alex Strofe.
Unsportsman, excuse me, Mr. Irrelevant had his own combine.
There's an un coming, but it's unathletic. Alex Strofe, first before we dive into this thing, guys, I want to give him all the credit in the world for putting himself out there, okay? You know, we do these sort of things every once in a while where we're like, hey, we want some digital content. Combine's going on. As a matter of
right
fact,
right now, looking at a pretty
when
good
I was
ride
in Chicago,
shaping up across the area.
Thank
nothing
you, Debbie
major slowing you down.
Gremlins. When I was in Chicago, we did a mini combine. We all ran the 40 just to see how we would shake out at the 40.
Sure.
I ran a 5.4, I want to say.
Okay.
Alex Strofe did the 40 yesterday, guys. Did he run a 5.4?
Well, I mean, that was a number that he ran past. Like, if it was 5.4 was eventually on the stop clock very briefly, and then it went up to 5.5, 5.6, 7, 8. What was 6.4?
Was 6.28.
Oh, 6.28.
If our stock as a company, just Milwaukee, was trading at $28 a share yesterday, after that video, it's down to 6. We're now selling for $6 a share. So go watch the video, please, people.
They don't have to go watch it. They can watch it right here.
You're going to throw it up on the YouTube stream?
Yes.
All right.
I have it here.
You can watch Jen, Gabe, and Chewy every day on our YouTube stream. We're going to show the video now of him. You can't even call that running, gang.
It's a car wreck. Like, it's so horrific, but I can't look away. I watched this video 1,000 times yesterday, just hoping that the next watch, that this was all fake and it's actually he runs a different way.
Chewy, you know how on podcasts you can change the speed? We've talked about this before.
Sure,
you can watch
sure.
something at regular speed. You can speed it up to 1.5, all the way up to 2.
Yes.
You can slow it down if you feel like you need a little bit more time to process the information. I thought that's what was happening here. I thought they had slowed it down to 0.5 of real speed. And at some point, it was going to go, just kidding, click, here's the real speed, here's the actual speed. Not the case.
See, that wasn't even the thing for me. Like, people are slow, right? There are slow people in this world. You know, not everybody can be fast.
Gabe's like, I'm not one of them.
Yeah,
but
I mean, not everybody can be fast. It is the manner in which he does it. Form seems wrong because that describes what is on that video.
It's not even form. Look at his body. It looks like Pinocchio in Shrek. I'm not a puppet. I'm a real boy. His shoulders to his feet are just one straight line down. There is no, I mean, it's just like that's what. Coat hanger shoulders. Now, when I say coat, that is coat hanger shoulders. There's no traps there. So, and you guys know at the combine, I mean, some guys are embarrassed about it, but back in the day when I played, you had to strip down to your underwear and then parade in front of probably 250 NFL personnel, and you're up in front of them just about naked for a good, I don't know, 6 minutes a guy.
Yeah, I don't know if they still do that. I know they did it as of very recently, where basically they weigh you, they measure you, and you basically stand there in what are now compression shorts and a compression shirt, as you could see Alex Stroh there wearing on the stream, the Brad Nortman combine. I was there for all of it, and I was the one timing it, as you could see in the video as you watch it. I didn't realize, so I could tell it was really bad, because if I play the audio, you can hear Brad Nortman say, "You're running so upright," and that was very apparent. Like, if you watch the guys who run the combine, they're like,
drop those hips, man.
Really low. They're like lunging to get to the cones because you're cutting time. And that time around, and if you watch, that time around the cone takes him like 14 steps. It's as if he's like circumnavigating the globe and doing the biggest U-turn you've ever. It's unbelievable. It's one of those, I described it as a career-defining move for him.
Oh, this
people are going to remember this for as long as he's in front of a microphone.
This is core memory, Alex Stroh. Fair or unfair? I will say this. When I saw the three-cone drill, which is what you guys shared originally, I immediately said, it's got to be because of the maneuvering around the cones. He's nervous. It's slick. Like, I'm using my brain to come up with all of these explanations for what I am
seeing. Excuses?
Look, it looks like he's running on ice.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Doesn't it? I mean, it literally looks like he's running on. This guy never played a sport in his life. He had to be a band guy.
So that's what I thought, Chu. So then I said to myself, I need to see the 40. I need to see the 40 because the 40 at least will give me an idea of if he can go out and just run.
Yeah, some people aren't agile, right? You're not, but you can run in a straight line.
Correct.
You know, maybe, you know, you can't make those quick cuts, but sure, running in straight line, you should be able to handle that.
That was not much better.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that one. I have it here.
I haven't seen that one.
Again, if you are interested in seeing some of these videos, Joshy is putting them on the YouTube stream right now. You can always stream the show on the ESPN Milwaukee feed. Go ahead with the 40 video, Joshy.
Oh, my God. Look at the arm swing. What are you doing?
Oh, poor guy. Oh, my goodness. How old is Alex Stroh?
26.
Imagine going through 26 years of your life. And no one told you, you don't know how to run.
Well, shouldn't he have had a coach at some point? Because he did, again, this is a shocking statement. He did play sports in high school, correct?
I believe he was the starting center for Denmark's basketball team.
I would remove all evidence of him attending that school. I mean, that is just embarrassing.
You're saying the school should remove all evidence now, of him having attended there.
Hold on. Was he a senior that played on the 8th grade basketball team? Because I could see that.
To my knowledge, no. And this has been also the interesting wrinkle here. He maintains his athletic prowess. Apparently, he played soccer. He was also on the basketball team. I, for one, am questioning all of that and think it's like make-believe at this point.
Because I agree.
The movement is so unnatural to anybody who's competed at sports. Like, if you were to take somebody who never did sports or any physical activity, that's what you would get. The result there of that three-cone drill, because it's so, it lacks fluidity. It lacks, like, I described it on Twitter as it looks like he has rubber bands around his knees and a back brace on because he's so upright and he's like not lunge. When you run, you extend.
Especially I've if seen, you're trying to go fast.
Yeah.
I've seen his form compared to that of a mall walker. You know, this is how a mall walker would run.
How do we know he didn't go to high school in Denmark, the country, in some like northern
I mean,
part
is it fair to take out an entire country just based on Alex Stroh's?
Well, Chewie's just trying to make it make sense. Because here's the other thing. Okay, so maybe these things, maybe he's got good hand-eye coordination. The problem for Stroh is there's also a video out there of him swinging and missing at a golf ball 9 times in a row before finally giving up, picking up the ball, and throwing it down the fairway.
9 times?
9 times.
9 times you missed?
Yeah, you could go to Ben Bruss Twitter. I believe he was the last one. I do not have that video here, but it's 8 or 9 swings before he picks the ball up and throws it. And the throw leaves a little bit to be desired, if we're being honest.
The whole video, like there's no proof that this guy can be considered athletic or an athlete.
How does a guy like this get into sports?
Well, he talks about sports. I actually wanted to ask you guys that.
It's a perfect place for him.
Because is there some expectation by the audience, by loyal listeners? Is there some expectation that people who talk about sports have to be able to play sports? Obviously not at the same level as a Chewy or as a Brad Nortman or as a Mark Tauscher. We're not saying that we have to play at the elite high level. But is there? Do people expect you to be a modicum of athletic in order to maintain credibility? And let me put it out there as a question and then ask this, you know, the old FU, the follow up. Does it matter?
I mean,
I had a lot of people on my Twitter feed yesterday after I shared the video asking the question of, can I trust this guy talking about sports when this is how he runs? That was a legitimate question. Does it matter? No, because your opinions about the game, it's just you're sharing opinions. People talk about sports and you don't have to be athletic. But I think there is an expectation that there's at least one athletic bone in your body. I mean, and clearly Strofe has none. There's no athletic bones in his
well,
body.
Well, to be fair, not every bone was on display in his combine this weekend. I want to just make sure. Hey, I'm trying to throw this guy a bone, okay? Like, we are absolutely annihilating him this morning. And again, I want to be clear. I give him all the credit in the world for going out there and doing this. None of us have done it.
I would have buried this video. This would have been embargoed. I'm making threats if this makes it to the public.
I'm not sure that Alex Strofe has that level of cachet. I'm not sure that once it's out there.
So what did he get on the bench and how much weight was on the bench?
So he walked up to the bench and just walked away.
Yeah, he got to zero.
So he does have self-awareness and obviously very little self-awareness. But he does have some self-awareness.
I refuse to be the spotter because I had a feeling I was going to be lifting 225 by myself.
You're just curling 225 as you're spotting him.
So I said, I don't think this is a good idea. There's danger involved here.
I mean, come on, like 220. Like he's at least pushing 5 pounds as he's going up on the bench.
I don't know if they did it. He's going to be doing a just the bar to see how many times he can get. He claimed 50 at first, which is obviously never going to happen. And I've never thought.
Have you ever benched?
I don't know. I've never thought a person who talks about sports and needs to be good at it. But this is a display so far beyond. Like we all see people who run, and it's like, have you ever run? Have you ever seen someone run? This, like, surpasses the, oh, he's not athletic thing. It's like, do you have bad hips? Like, are your knees arthritic? Do you got an issue you're unaware of?
Wait, so you're asking if the 26-year-old, the youngest person on air here at ESPN Milwaukee, needs hip replacement surgery? That is the question that you're asking.
If you turn your attention to the video screen.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
What can you explain hold on. That movement by?
Josh is like, I rest my case and sits back down.
But look, when he's finishing the run.
It's the best.
He doesn't have an ass. Look at it. It just goes straight down.
Wait, you call that something. It's like a long back or something like that.
A wood hauler's ass, you know?
My favorite part is if you look at the end there, he braces himself as he finishes through. You're barely moving.
There's not a lot of momentum. Yeah.
What are you worried about? You're not going to go through that wall.
Yeah, I know.
You're going to hurt yourself.
Oh, man. This is crazy town. So we are asking the question this morning, does it matter if your sports broadcasters are not good at sports? Any sport, some sports. So here's the next thing I thought of, guys. Has anybody seen Alex Strofe dance? Have you guys gone to parties or weddings or bars or anything? Because dancing also requires a certain level of athleticism, a certain rhythm, if you will, right? Being able to have your body do what you want it to do. I don't see it.
No
chance.
Joshy, have you seen Alex Strofe?
I've been out with him, and I've never seen him dance. I've only seen him do 12-ounce curls with some brewskis. That's really the most athletic thing I've ever seen him do.
The occasional 16er, if you get the tall boy.
Josh, what did he think of his performance? Did he finish and go, that really wasn't good?
Yeah, so to go behind the curtain here a little bit, I was pretty low on this whole process of the combine because I thought 6'3 guy, 175 pounds, he's going to put up a performance that is like, it's going to be boring because it's like, yeah, that's what you would expect of a 26-year-old white guy. when he did it, he kept telling me, no, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. And he exceeded those expectations all the time. This came up because we were talking about RAS, the relative athletic score. And I said, it's not the formula Packers use, but when you see those come out, you can pay attention to those because the Packers seem to target those guys with that share the athletic skills. I said, and then he suggested him doing it. I said, we could punch your numbers in. I don't have the card here, but we put him in as a place kicker. Worst performance of all time at the combine.
What?
Yeah. There 0.0.
There has been nobody. And now those are weighted scores. So it takes in height and weight and it balances all of it to determine athleticism. And there's as high as 10, which is the best score for that position. 0.0.
Well, like if you put Brad Nortman's scores in, did you guys do that? Because he was there yesterday.
He's 95 percentile for punters and kickers.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And if you move
why
him,
he was able to play in the league.
If you move him to middle linebacker, he's still like a six. Which is their guys play at sixes that get RAS scores of that. So, like, Brad's very athletic. And Strofe got 0.0.
Woof.
Yep. Just got a text.
Oh, you did?
Alex Strofe.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I can dance. Not well.
See, this
but I am capable.
This he keeps going back to this. Like, he tried to say he was more athletic than Jesse Nelson.
Nope.
And it's like, no, you're not.
Nope.
You're the least athletic person we have here.
He's the least athletic person in the history of ESPN Wisconsin.
Ashton would be better. Hold on, Ashton would be better.
I've seen Ashton do athletic things.
Yeah.
He did throw a golf club behind him, but he at least looked fluid. He looked like he knew what he was doing.
Okay.
Like, there's a hand eye that Ashton has that does not exist for Strofe.
Yes. If we were to get Alex Strofe a coach, somebody who worked with him for, it doesn't even have to be a long
6 years?
I was going to say six
there's
months.
A lot you got to coach out there, right?
Mean,
there's a lot.
I feel like, again, my dad was a running coach, so this was his specialty sort of, was teaching form to be the most efficient, you know, how to get from point A to point B faster. I feel like he could do something with that. I'm not saying you can make him look...
There are
100 times better.
There's 26 years that you have to get rid of before you even start over.
Remember when they had to teach Steph Curry how to run because he kept getting injured?
Yeah.
We got to go back to basics. We got to go, like, touch your toes, like, stretching,
I mean,
striding.
It starts with, like, you would stand in place and just do basic arm movements. Honestly, you would just stand there, right? Thumb to mouth, thumb to pocket
marrying
type of thing.
Marrying those legs, because if you watch here on the video, which I will happily play again, his arms aren't married to his legs. His arms are going so much faster.
Crazy.
Is he wearing 407s because 80-year-olds wear those down here with black socks?
And they do their walking?
Those were athletic shoes he got from Kohl's, so I have no idea what they are.
Okay.
But he also plans to complete a half marathon, I believe, which... Buddy, he's going to injure himself.
What, I mean, a half marathon?
Yeah.
He realizes they start like tearing down at a certain point, right?
Uh-huh. He might need a lift halfway through. I don't know.
All right.
Is he going to do it on the electric scooter? Like just kind of get 13?
The rascal?
Yeah.
Yeah. A little red flag behind him so everybody knows that he's coming and going. All right, we got to get to Jason Wilde. That is enough, I feel like, of just absolutely destroying Alex Strofe.
I think of more jokes. We'll revisit.
I might just play it during break a couple times. Just sprinkle
it
in.
Play.
Yeah.
Good grief. Again, credit to Alex Strofe for going out there and doing it, for putting himself out there. I do think that that deserves some credit. I want to make sure that, because again, none of us did it. None of us put ourselves doing athletic things on camera for people to judge, for the world to see. So kudos to Alex Strofe for doing that. It is obviously giving us a great chuckle this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is next. Not Wilde and Tasha's next. Jason Wilde is next.
Jen's ready to be done with the show.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you know what? I don't think we can do any better than that. We will take a break. Be right back after this.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
To have Jason Wilde join the program, especially when there is news out of 1265. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing?
I'm good. Saddened by the passing of Gene Hackman, but otherwise I'm good, thanks.
That was tough. And it sounds like they're going to investigate. It sounds like they are. They think it was suspicious. He, his wife, and his dog found dead in their home. I want to get to a comment from John in MKE. He says, this summer during the Badger State Games, you should enroll Alex Strofe in the 100-yard dash in the group of 90 and above. I think it would be an interesting race.
He's not winning.
He's not finishing.
Jason, have you been able to take a look at the Alex Strofe combine video that we have been sharing on social media and, of course, on the YouTube stream this morning?
I have.
Your thoughts.
I applaud Strofe for putting himself out there in this manner and creating such incredibly viral content. He had to know the type of athlete that he is when he signed up to do this. So he knew that he was doing it for the good of our platforms, for the good of our entertainment. So I want to say good job, Strofe. Now, I was told that he played basketball in high school at Denmark High School. I was told that he was a good soccer player. So I'm just wondering, and I've not talked to him. My appearances on KBN are on Mondays and Thursdays, so I'll talk to him later today. But I will admit, I'm not going to pile on here. I mean, he has some of the responses on social media have been very, very funny. So kudos to those who have been clever in their replies. I have not joined the choir of ridicule, but I am confused because, like, I didn't see the I saw him bench press a bar, which was good, 20 times. But I haven't, like, did he just not know? Like, he can't really run like that, right?
No, like, he does.
Is there video of the 40-yard dash?
Oh, yes.
And to Jason, to that point, I said, maybe it's just the agility portion of this. Maybe it is just having to go around the cones. I wondered if the pickleball court was a little slick, right? And he was guarding against blowing out his ACL or his Achilles. Like, I gave him. So I said, let me watch the 40. And I do believe, Josh, you are putting the 40-yard dash back up on the stream for those who are watching on the YouTube stream this morning. And Jason, no, it's not better.
Okay. Well, then I got nothing for you.
Let's move on, as Bryant Gumbel used to say. Were you surprised by the reports yesterday about Jair Alexander and the Packers quietly, essentially shopping him?
No, of course not. And, you know, that it's very rare on our show that, A, I have an opinion, and B, that I disagree with Tausch on something. Usually, like the Chewy thing, I usually hear him say something. This is true of both Tausch and Chewy, both named Mark, by the way. No, neither of them that goes by Mark. Say something, I'm like, oh my God, is this guy an idiot? And then I pause, and then I think about it. And then it dawns on me that this actually is pretty interesting, and he may be onto something. It's like the human embodiment of the Alonzo Mourning on the Heat bench
the GIF,
where he's kind of shaking his head and they, maybe. But my argument with Tausch was like, you know, he was actually saying before this news broke that maybe he comes back. And I was like, dude, the question was asked of him directly in Indianapolis, will Jair be on this team this year? And my argument to him was, if you want Jair, but you have to work out the numbers because you don't want him at $16 million given and a $25 million cap number, given how the last 2 years have gone, then your answer is, yeah, I want Jair on this team. I want a healthy Jair out there. We are a better team when he is on our team. We are a better defense when we have him. He struggled to be on the field the last 2 years, so we got to work through that. But I want him on this team. And that's not what Goody said. The two words that came out of his mouth were, we'll see. And that was because he was already shopping him.
He also had an answer in there about how he doesn't give agents the clearance to shop their clients, that he shops their client. He does the trade talk. So he acknowledged that agents probably do it anyway, but he never publicly says we've given so-and-so's agent the freedom to seek a trade. He doesn't believe in that. So what I did was I reached out to a bunch of NFL GMs or former GMs that I know, and I was like, just look, I'm curious, what could the Packers get back for him? And one of them said, not much. Or I think I said, what would the return be? And he said, not good. I said, well, what, like sixth or seventh? And he said, I don't even know about that. So there, that was at one end of the spectrum. And then on the other end, there was another one that said, well, I think he'd get much more than that. I think he can still play. And then there was a third who said, I would start by asking for a third, and then I'd settle for a fourth or a fifth. So there, even among guys that do this for a living, they have a wide variance of opinion on what the bring back would be for Jair at this point. And I think that underscores how the last two seasons, you know, between the injury, between the question marks of whether he is willing to play through injury, which I know as an old school player, Chewy questions, and I know people in the building questioned, and then whether or not, you know, he's in a headspace where you can rely on him. You know, I think there's a feeling that he's kind of a strange or odd guy. And the NFL, as you know, is not a place for people to have different personalities. They like guys that are just there to run through walls and do as they're told. And obviously Jair's a free-spirited, different type of cat. So it'll be interesting to see. But no, I you know, I have thought all along that he wouldn't be back. I thought all along they would try to trade him. Whether they would succeed or not, I didn't know. But again, when Josh Jacobs is going around the Super Bowl, and when he's not talking about the need for a number one wide receiver, he's mentioning corner as a position that they need to add to. And when Keyshawn Nixon is coming out and saying that he wants to be CB1 and CB1 don't return kickoffs, well, he's saying that about a friend of his and a good teammate who he really likes. He clearly doesn't think Jair is going to be on the team either, because otherwise he doesn't stake the claim of CB1. So, no, none of this has surprised me.
Jason, so who's responsible for his demise? Because, as you know, I played with a guy who was uncontrollable, who scared the hell out of you in the locker room.
Oh, my God.
Holmgren didn't like him, and he wasn't the only one that could control him was Fritz, right? And Fritz made it work. And if Wayne was around for Super Bowl 32 with Gabe Wilkins taking a day off, I'm not saying we would have won, but we would have had a better chance at winning. So
they might have tackled Terrell Davis once in a while.
Was it Jerry Gray that left 2 years ago, the DB
Boy, this
coach?
Is such a, this, I don't even have to go Alonzo Mourning here. This is such a great question. Such a great question.
Yeah, so, I mean, I blame Goody, I blame LaFleur, and I blame Rodgers. And I blame, obviously, Jair, because it's him. But I think there's other people in the building that share blame. What are your thoughts?
Wow, this is outstanding. Really, like, I'm not condescending like Tom Clements used to do to me all the time. No, you're 1,000,000% right. Jerry Gray is the correct answer, though. Like, it's not his fault that he left. It's he was the one who clearly, like, again, Jerry Gray was a 4-time Pro Bowler as a player. Like, the guys called him the OG, because he had, and look, I don't think it's fair to Derek Ansley or to Ryan Downard or even Halfley to say, well, that they didn't connect with Jair. Because let's be honest, you know, I talked to Jair earlier in the season. He had that pick six in Tennessee. Like, he said, at least, that he loved Halfley's scheme. He loved how Halfley treated him. He liked Derek Ansley. He loved the strength and conditioning staff, which they obviously changed out. He felt like he was on a much better page with the medical staff and the strength and the athletic training staff and the rehab staff than he had been previously.
And obviously, the one thing that he did clearly hate and he didn't do any make any effort to hide was Joe Barry and the Joe Barry scheme. So what's weird about this, what's disappointing about this, what's frustrating about this, and what's irritating for me, because I really wanted to try and get him to answer some of these questions on locker room cleanout day before he saw the TV cameras coming, and it's not against the TV folks. They got a job to do too, but I just wish that whatever that long interview that was occurring across the locker room had not ended the way it did. What the hell happened here? Now, the knee injury happened. I don't think any of us is disputing that he hurt his knee on that final defensive play against Jacksonville. But the way things move forward thereafter, and the day in Chicago where he worked out before the game, said he could give it a go, they kept him active, they were going to have him on a pitch count, and then he pulls himself after 10 plays, that was a problem. And maybe, to your point about Goody and LaFleur, maybe the smarter decision would have been to not play and say, look, I don't think it makes sense to have you play partially. Let's just wait and be patient and play you once you're fully healthy. I don't know if that affected it. Goody said it did not make it worse, but he did have arthroscopic surgery in December. So I think it's probably all those folks. But you're right. For whatever reason, you know, you look at him in 2020 and 2022, I mean, he was a second-team All-Pro. That's a big blanking deal. Mm-hmm. And 21 was the year. I always thought, the only thing that I thought about him was that, and I still believe this to this day, the tackle he makes on Najee Harris, that he went from being this, because he's undersized, right? Like, there, Ron Wolf would not have drafted him. Mm-hmm. He was not big enough to play corner for Ron Wolf after the Terrell Buckley incident. But what I thought was always so impressive of him in 18, 19, 20, and up until that play against Najee Harris, was that he was a willing and able tackler. He didn't care. Size didn't matter. He was tenacious. And I respected the hell out of that about him. And then after that, like, you know, he misses 13 games, and he was like Dion after that. He had no interest in tackling.
Jason, the franchise tag deadline coming up on Tuesday. I did not walk away from the Brian Gutekunst comments on Brandon McManus hopeful that the Packers were going to be coming to a deal with McManus. What are the chances the Packers use that tag and use it on the kickers so we don't have to go through another summer of kicking competitions?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to. What was weird about conversations with McManus was the first time I went up to him to talk one on one, he asked me what I wanted to talk about, and I knew that he was concerned that I wanted to talk about the Jacksonville flight to London. And I'm like, look, no, I just want to talk kicking. And then every subsequent interview that I did, Tim Van Voren did one. He was like the one player that wanted us to go out into the hallway. But like, he didn't want group interviews to start. So, and the reason I bring that up is somewhere in the back of his mind, I think he was still thinking that that was going to be a topic. Right. And I bring it up because, and I'm not trying to be callous about this at all, but the Packers signed him out of desperation, right?
Yep.
They had gone with a rookie kicker last year, in 2023. Then they doubled down on the concept by going with another one to start the season. Both were varying degrees of failures. And then they said, look, this guy finally got his legal situation resolved. He's the best available veteran kicker. We got to do this. And forget, you know, we're not going to enjoy the couple of paragraphs and Wilde's story and Domofsky's story and everything else about what he allegedly did and presumably the agreement that he reached to make the lawsuit go away. But we need a guy that's reliable, and that's exactly what they got. You know, Tausch advanced on our show the theory of using the franchise tag. That's going to be like $6 million.
Yeah, who cares?
You're going to make him one of the highest-paid kickers in the league.
Yeah, but to me, that's worth it, so I don't have to watch the Narv dog boink another upright or have Anders Carlson come in and pull one wide left. Like, that's worth it.
Yeah, well, it's not. Yeah, and it's not your money. It's not your cap space.
Oh, they got and more. Well, they're cutting Jair. $6 million right there. Once they trade or cut Jair.
All right, knock it off. You're a national radio host.
What?
You knucklehead.
What?
That's not how Goody thinks. Logic, yes, exactly. Like, if I am trying to figure out if I can afford this pair of Nike Air Max 270s on Poshmark for $58, I'm then looking at my shoe collection going, all right, what can I sell on Poshmark to pay for those? Okay. So I think the same way you do. Goody doesn't think that way. Goody's thinking, oh, my God.
But Goody's also on the record of you can't win a championship unless you have a championship-level kicker. And I can't imagine he wants to go through everything they went through the last 2 years.
Gabe.
Jason.
He said that, and then he moved on from the championship-level kicker drafted a guy who made 58% of his kicks in college.
Because he didn't think they were a championship-level team year one with Jordan Love.
Hold on, Jason, I think that let me just try to nail this down. What Gabe is saying is the frustration that the organization went through, the frustration the fan base went through as they brought in kickers and they stunk, and they brought in a kicker and they stunk and they underperformed, he thinks it's worth it to overpay for somebody who is consistent and reliable. That's all he's saying.
Jim, I didn't need you to Jen-splain that. I know what he's saying.
But sometimes our loyal listeners get lost in the shuffle, guys. Like, sometimes people who are listening get lost in the minutia. So I just wanted to make sure we nailed down what the concept is that Gabe is defending.
I agree with him. If I may, I thought the Poshmark comp was pretty good, by the way.
It was pretty good.
We were talking about shoes, and you have a lot of shoes. They don't have a lot of kickers. They need a kicker. They need somebody who can go out there and split the uprights consistently. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to think of a better comp of something that you need to have. You don't really want to spend money on it, but you need to have it.
Now you're critiquing my shoe comp.
Well, you said I gen-splained to you a few moments ago, so I want to make sure we're on the same page.
He missed a 38-yard field goal in a playoff game, too.
Yep.
So I don't know if I want to franchise tag that guy. What I'm telling you is Goody doesn't think that way. Goody's thinking, I want this guy, but I want him at $3.5 million or $4 million because I can put those $2 million to use elsewhere. I'm telling you, that's how he thinks. I agree, Gabe, in theory with you. Mm-hmm. I do. But if he uses the franchise tag, then he will have adopted the Gabe Neitzel theory of, we can't go through this crap again. But he's 33 years old, and I still don't think that Goody – I mean, there's been some inconsistency in his history, especially from beyond 50 yards. I'm just telling you, there's a chance that Goody doesn't see it your way and wants him back, but wants him back at his number.
Yeah. So,
Jason,
I say it's not happening. It's basically – it's not happening, and the Packers are going to go through this crap again.
Hey, Jason. I love
you, too. It's fun today. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason, we appreciate hanging out with us. You can listen to Jason and Wildy on Wildy and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning. I think, guys, sometimes we get lost in the minutia. Gabe, I think you're making a really good point about the kicker situation. There are other things, more pressing things, that the Packers need to concern themselves with. And to me, this is an easy answer. This is a, let's not overthink it. Maybe we're overspending, but it takes it off the plate. It takes it off the to-do list.
And at least it's just, I mean, it might just be a one-year stopgap and then you move on or whatever, but just, you got $10 million extra dollars that you weren't accounting for that the cap is going up by. Like, it's going up by more than $10 million than everybody thought it was going to.
It's not Goody's deal.
It's not.
I think that's all Jason's saying. It's not the way he does things. So.
It's not.
We have talked on this show, though, Chu, about maybe needing to pivot off the way he has done things, right?
I agree with you. I agree.
Can't wait for a kicker from Directional State to come in and miss a bunch of field goals in spring training.
Remember, Josh, he told us, Anders Partey. We're getting Anders
0%
back.
Chance. 0% chance that that happens.
0% chance that we can fix the clock this morning, guys. We have absolutely destroyed it. We actually have a lot of stuff to get to this morning, so we have to take a break. We have to be right back after this.
Make plans to stop by Bunzel's this week. Pick up these fresh homemade specials. Burgundy pepper marinated flat iron steaks, $12.99 a pound. Panko crusted chicken or pork cutlets, $7.99 a pound. Bunzel's own root beer marinated ribs, $6.99 a pound. Chocolate chip banana bread, $5.89 each. Look, I'll tell you this. I mean, Bunzel's, known for, obviously, everything they do behind the meat counter. Their baked goods, their bakery, really good and underrated. Also, stop by the deli when you're visiting Bunzel's and grab lunch or dinner. Bunzel's, it's at 90th and Burleigh. Find all the weekly specials and more on the website, bunzels.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point...
I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because...
You must be showering wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Oh, make me over. I'm all I want to be. A walking study.
This morning in the production meeting, Chewy asked us the question that he asked Jason Wilde just a few moments ago here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, which was, who do you blame for the Jair Alexander situation? Yesterday, it is revealed that the Packers are shopping Jair Alexander. And I don't think it's going to work out the way that they want it to work out. If teams around the league know that the Packers are hoping to part ways with Jair, then they just wait until the Packers cut him and they get him on the cheap. And they're not on the hook for his salary, right, Gabe? Isn't that the distinction of if you trade for him, you're on the hook for the salary?
Yeah, the Packers would not be on the hook for his base salary, which is, I think, $17.5 million for 2025. Obviously, there would still be dead cap based on guaranteed dollars that you played before. That would be on there. So they're saving money. But whoever trades for him would still be taking on that $17.5 million salary and the $19.5 million that lingers behind it in 2026 as well. And when you take a look at that type of money for a guy who's only played half the games the last two seasons, that's where I have a hard time thinking that anybody wants to go, yeah, I'm going to give up an asset for that, then pay that. Teams that actually want him will probably be patient, wait for the Packers to release him, and then sign him to some sort of incentivized deal.
And I want to be clear, too, one thing that we all said this morning was nobody is absolving Jair of blame for this situation. He is certainly responsible for how he has behaved. He is responsible for creating an environment, creating a situation where the Packers are interested in moving on from their number one cornerback. But the position that you took this morning, which I thought was very intriguing, and Jason agreed, was he doesn't exist in a vacuum. There were other things that occurred within the Packers organization that pushed this situation along. And so, what do you think also played a role in now this inevitable divorce with Jair Alexander?
No one had him under control. And I told you the Wayne Simmons story, how there was one guy that had him under control, and that's the defensive coordinator. And Fritz was with us until Mike went to Seattle. But they had that guy. You know, sometimes LaFleur's got to keep people around. And I don't know what his relationship was with Gray, but You do whatever it takes to keep Gray happy so he stays and takes care of one of the top five talents on your team happy, you know? And I agree with Gabe. The best thing would have been to do would be fire Joe Barry earlier. And my fear is this, okay, because we see it all the time. My fear is this, is he's going to go somewhere. My fear is Minnesota or Detroit. Now, Flores is the D coordinator at Minnesota, which everyone loves. Players love him, you know. And if he gets his hands on a Jair may fly straight. He's obviously going to have a chip against Green Bay, you know. He wants to show them wrong. And if Jair's healthy and his head is clear, he would still be a top five player on this team. Would you guys agree?
Yeah. But the biggest caveat there is if healthy. Like, Jair's always been different, and I think that's always part of what's made him good. Like, he was a cocky, brash kid at Louisville when they took him, and I knew that didn't always, you know, kind of hit everybody the right way, but I think that's part of what makes that irrational confidence, that's what makes cornerbacks good. But the injury part, like, I can't have any faith that he is going to stay healthy the older he gets.
Let me ask you this, Chu. Again, we all talk about the Green Bay Packers almost exhaustively. Are there other teams in the league that would kill for a guy like Jair Alexander even 50% of the time. Jerry Gray is with the Falcons, I think, last check. I'm not sure if he still is. But, like, would Jerry Gray be like, hey, go out and get this guy?
Sure.
One, I can make he and I have a good relationship, as evidenced by our time together in Green Bay. I can get him on the field more consistently than they were able to in Green Bay. And it'll be a steal for us to have him as a defensive back. Like, is there a part of you that thinks that other teams think they can get a different version of Jair on the field?
Absolutely. Andy Reid had a weird way of going about things, and Andy would never yell. He'd never yell or swear. You know, not that that makes a great coach, but Andy...
Son of a buck!
Well, there were times I shouldn't have played, and the only reason I did is because Andy would get in my head with the, hey, we need you out there. You got to do what you got to do. And there is a point, I believe, as a player, percentage-wise, you should play. You shouldn't have to be 100% to play, because no one's 100%. But if there's no chance of doing any other damage, whether it's a bruise or something like that, then Andy would get me to play. It's just, and there are coaches like that. And sometimes the player wants to do whatever he can for a coach. You know, and there's coaches that I had that I, you know, I wouldn't cross the street for.
What if they held your hand?
He was one of those guys, and it sounds like he had that kind of relationship with Gray. And this, it's all about, look, you guys know I'm a weirdo, right?
What?
The locker room is filled with weirdos, but you have to understand how weirdos work, you know?
So one of the other things that you said, Chu, was that you blame Goody, Matt LaFleur, and Aaron Rodgers. Explain to us how all three of those, I know we have talked about the Joe Barry element of it, the Jerry Gray element of it, Green Ranger weighing in on the YouTube stream. Remember, you can always stream the show on YouTube as well, saying trading Rasul probably pissed Jair off. Like, maybe there's some truth to that as well. Like, you know, having a good cornerback back there, we all thought that that was sort of the writing on the wall, that Brian Gutekunst thought they couldn't compete that year, or else you don't trade one of your top cornerbacks. How do you explain Aaron Rodgers being a part of this situation the Packers find themselves in now?
Because Jair thought that he should be afforded the same kind of treatment that Aaron got, as well as Bakhtiari and things like that. Back in our day, okay, there were two A players on our team that could pretty much do whatever they want. But they didn't, because we all love Mike. That was Reggie and Brett, okay? And then you go to the next level, whether it's B+, B level. You understood that those guys got more special treatment than you. But you understood that you still got special treatment, okay? And Jair never did that. Jair thought, hey, Aaron Rodgers and me are on the same level. Well, you're not. You're not. No one corralled that. And the thing going back to Wayne Simmons, it wasn't only Fritz. You know, he had Bob Vallecente was our linebackers coach. He had an ally there. He had a group of a support staff that surrounded him and kept him in control. It sounds to me like all Jair had was Gray. And I'll tell you this, Ron Wolf loved Wayne Simmons. He loved Wayne Simmons, but when you win a Super Bowl and the head coach kind of has a power jump over the GM and wanted Wayne gone, the head coach wins. It's, to me, it sounds like all Jair had was Gray, which isn't enough.
Pretty good insight there. We are trying to figure out what went wrong between the Green Bay Packers and Jair Alexander. Go ahead and give us your theories. 800-990-3776. That's our Carbless talk and text line. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on right after this.